Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and this is Carl from Deviant Legion and, of course, Film and Stuff. And we're very, very happy to have you with us. And as always, I want to introduce my right hand, my girl, Nadia, and that would be Miss Rachel. Say hello, Miss Rachel.
Good evening, moose and squirrels.
And also with us today is someone who has been described as the independent scream queen. She is part of the Shaka Go Go Festival, which starts tomorrow, Wednesday, October 18th through the 22nd, at the Film Noir Cinema in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. And we're very happy to have her. She also has a film, Limbo, which will be showing at the festival. And we want to have a really nice welcome for Miss Tina Krause. Nice to have you with us, Tina.
Hey, guys. What's up? Hello, everybody out there. In La La Land.
What have I in the Burger King commercial now? What's up? Whatever that commercial was. Anyway. So Tina, it's really nice to have you with us. Just tell us a little bit about your background and how you got involved in independent film and all those wonderful credits that you have and so on and so forth. Just give us some background.
All right.
Tell us who you be.
I'll tell you who I be. All right. So basically how it all started was my boyfriend at the time, he broke up with me. I know, sad story, right?
What an
asshole.
And
he left me with whatever. You know what? I'm going to thank him for this one because what he did leave me with is a career. see how that works out? All right.
Yep.
Probably listening, too. Whatever. Long time ago, it was my first it was supposed to be my first convention with him. I've never been to a horror convention. And I grew up on horror films. I grew up on the old ones, like, you know, The Thing and Videodrome and all that shit as a kid.
Sorry,
and I grew
guys.
Up on Fangoria Magazine. Yeah, like the old stuff. So I grew up on all that. But I never been to a horror convention. And he had tickets for both of us, and then he broke up with me. But the problem that he had was that he left me with the tickets. So I was like, well, fuck you. I ain't giving you the fucking tickets, asshole. So instead, I took my sister. And this is back when the conventions were at Fairleigh Dickinson. So that's really a long time ago. I want to say the very early 90s, like 90, 91. All right?
Mm-hmm.
I took my sister with me. Because she wanted to get a Jason mask, which I thought was funny. I was like, oh, all right, cool. So I took her with me, and that was actually the start of me working in horror films. At that convention, somebody asked me and said, are you a horror actress? And I said, no, but if I lie and say that I am, will you give me a part? And they did.
Wow.
And
nice.
The rest is history. So I can't be too mad at him, huh? And here I am now.
I mean, I take a look at this.
Yeah, that was a total
amazing.
Boss move right there.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. But I mean, you start with a film called Love is a Stranger, and then you just go on from there like forever. It's unbelievable.
Yep. I just kept doing it and doing it and doing it. And then, 27 years later, you know, here we are.
So here you are, a young actress, and you're involved in basically no-budget horror films. What was that like back then? Because it's much different now. I mean, you know, technology, everything. So what was it like?
So back then, you got to remember, we weren't dealing with like all CGI. Everything was pretty practical. It was a lot more work, I'll say that. You know, it was more work for the directors than it is for the actors, but still, it was a lot more work. Longer days, longer everything. Like, you had to work through things, you know. There wasn't really that much on a green screen, so to speak, or a blue screen, mm-hmm. if you will, depending on what you were, you know, working with, whether it was film or digital. Everything was pretty practical. The fight scenes were right then and there. If you didn't know how to fight, you probably got kicked in the face.
Okay.
And if you're on one of the no-budget films, you definitely got kicked in the face. Or you kick somebody in the face. I've had that problem, too. you know, if you had a scene where you were drowning in quicksand, they made your quicksand, and sometimes there were leeches in there.
Oh, yikes.
Not my favorite thing either.
Yeah, it wasn't like you got your Hollywood whatever. No, this is low budget. You got whatever. Shit, sometimes they just dug a hole, took the dirt, put it in a, you know, whatever they dug up, which had bugs and worms and whatever the fuck in it. Spiders, who knows? All right? They put water in it. It was mud. It wasn't quicksand, but they played it off as quicksand. And anything that was crawling in it was crawling on you. So this was pretty not, you know, a little tough. A little tough. Definitely not
and
like
yet
today.
And yet you went, you know, so many films and that. What was it that drew you to this? I mean, certainly, you know, the idea of being an actress and that sort of thing. But once you figured out how much work it was and how physical it was back then, what made you keep coming back?
So I used some of those low-budget films to learn how to act, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I took all of that, all of that, and because people kept saying, like, why do you even try? Like, it, you know, this is not for this, you know, and nobody's ever going to look at your acting skills for being an actress. And I didn't believe that because there were a lot of people that would hit me up out of the weirdest places that I would never think in a million years. And they'd be like, you could actually act. You want to be in my film. And they'd be better films, and they'd keep being better films and better films. And so I was using that platform to keep my acting skills up to par, even though, you know, you get these dumb, like, monotonous scenes. They're just stupid, whatever. You know, they're stupid in writing, but you can add something to them and make them funny or great or put your own twist on them if you want to. And I would always do that just to keep the acting in, like, its place, hoping that I would get better gigs.
Mm-hmm.
And then I decided later on, I didn't like the shit that was coming out because you got to remember, I'm a horror fanatic. I always have been. I got kicked. I got in so much trouble in Catholic school for having fucking Fangoria magazines due to my dad giving them to me to read.
Catholic school, that's a whole different thing we'll get into maybe over dinner. Yeah, seriously.
Oh, God.
Who knew? You know, I'm Episcopalian. I'm Catholic with half the guilt. So there you go.
Yeah, it was bad. But, yeah, and I was, like, a really big horror fanatic, really big at a young age. And as I got older and started getting into this thing, I remember telling my dad one day when I was little, I was like, one day I'm going to be in Fangoria magazine. And he smiled and he goes, sure, one day. And I'm pretty sure in the back of his head, he was like, that's never going to happen. You know what I mean? But he didn't want to shatter my hopes. And surely enough, I was in Fangoria magazine.
There you go.
That's a fun thing to remember.
Oh, that's cool. I'm hoping he was still alive when that happened.
He's still alive
now, very cool.
So yes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And he's still crazy as ever. Nothing's changed. Seriously, nothing's changed.
That's a great thing.
And I gave him the magazine. I think I had like a 3-page spread. So it wasn't just mm-hmm. acting, but it was directing.
Nice.
So there you go.
So talking about directing, you did your film
yes.
Limbo. And you did it in 1999.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yes.
Which is a lot different than doing it today. What can you tell us as far as how that film started and what happened, and then we'll get into some of the technical end of it too. So
okay.
Give us a little bit of info there.
A long time ago, a producer slash friend of mine, Patrick, he had this company, and they wanted to do a vampire film. And he asked me, "Hey, Tini, do you want to help with this vampire film?" And at the moment, I was like, "I am so done with vampires. I don't want to do another vampire film." So I looked at it. I looked at the script and everything, and then I just rewrote. It wasn't that anymore. And I picked it apart, and I was like, you know what, Pat, I'm not doing a vampire film. This is ridiculous. Why don't we do something that's really crazy? And then I wrote something, and I was like, I'll do this, and we'll pass it off as a pseudo vampire. It had nothing to do with vampires at all. So I was like, how about if this vampire is dead and goes through purgatory? How about that? He wanted to kill
me. I like it already.
So I rewrote the whole thing, and really it was just about a person going through purgatory. And at the time, I had hired somebody else to shoot it. And I went the first day, and I saw the footage. After I went through with them, can you do it like this, can you do it like that? I went through the first day, and I was like, this is nothing that I want. And I literally said, just leave the camera. Now I've got a full crew the next day and for the next 2 weeks. And I was like, leave the camera, just show me where the on and off button is, and I'll figure it out. I'm not kidding. I wound up shooting it. I wound up directing and shooting. Yeah. Oh yeah. I was like, you are not doing this to me, man. And that was the first time I ever shot anything ever in life. And we didn't have, you got to remember, we didn't have all this fancy shit where you could do things on CGI and da-da-da. Everything was, all effects were on camera, all of it. Everything was practical, every single thing. I didn't have all these crazy lights. I did what I could. I just learned it as I was going. And then we shot some of it on film. And I was in SVA, so I kind of understood, you know, a little bit about film and stuff like that. And then, so we shot on VHS film and the L1, the Panasonic L1.
Okay.
So it's three different mediums. How it was edited was VH deck to VH deck. And the only thing that we can do little stuff, little like tiny little like, you know, enhances, was on a Fisher-Price toy.
Okay, talk to me about that. I want to hear about that.
Okay. So the guys that I was working with, they're geniuses. Like, you know, my crew was they were geniuses, seriously. And they were like, yeah, we don't, because we didn't have Avid or anything like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we were doing all the cutting deck to deck, VHS deck to VHS deck. And I was like, how do we fix this, that, and the other? And they're like, well, we got a Fisher-Price toy thing that kind of does, like, a little fade. And I was just like, and it can change, like, some color here and there, but that's about it. And I was like, yep, let's work with it. And we did. I'll never forget. I was like, this is a fucking toy. This is a kid's toy. They were like, yeah, I know, but we can use it. And I was like, all right, well, what choice do we have? And we did. And we put this together. And then the music, Mike Sand, who was on my crew, he made a lot of the music in the basement. So a lot of the weird effects and stuff like that. He did that on his guitar in the basement and recorded it and gave it to us.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah, and it became a very weird flick. Which is fine.
Oh, that's... Absolutely. I mean, I'll be looking forward to seeing that for sure. So,
it's strange.
I noticed something in your, in all the films that you've been in, and so on and so forth. And I mentioned this to you before we became on the air, but for those listening, I got involved in this particular festival because
a very good friend of mine who has been on the podcast numerous times, has his film Shatterdead coming. And, of course, you know who I'm talking about. But you were in Scooter's film 16 Tongues.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to, hear any stories you might have about Scooter or thoughts or that sort of thing.
So Scooter, all right. So Scooter through the Chiller Convention and stuff like that. Scooter's always been somewhat of a mentor for me. And I remember one time Scooter called me up and he said, hey, because he saw the film. He was like, send Limbo through for the film festival for like the, I think it was the Chiller Film Festival. They were having a panel for five directors or whatever. And I did. And he goes, so congratulations. And I said, what are you talking about? And he goes, didn't you get in? And I go, no, I got rejected. And he goes, what? And I go, yeah. And he goes, no. And I said, no, I'm serious. And I told him, and he's like, do me a favor. And he goes, send it in again, but send it under a male name. And I was like, what? He's like, just put a male first name in there. And I'm like, well, I'm going to keep my last name. He's like, no, it's fine. He said, just put it. And I did. I sent it in under Stephen Krause. And a week later, I got an acceptance letter. Not only did I get an acceptance letter, but I was put on the panel of directors.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm not going to tell you how furious I was, because I didn't change anything but my name. The cover was still the same. I was like, they didn't look at it because it was my name, because I'm a B mm-hmm. actress. That's why they didn't look at it. They didn't even look at it. They never looked at it. And he was like, yeah. And he goes, so what? And he calls me up and he goes, so what happened? I said, I'm on the director's panel. And he goes, that's what I thought. And I was like, okay. So all the people on the panel were males and stuff. And I just remember the guy that was kind of running the thing, when I got up there, was giving me such a strange look. And I walked up and I said, hi, I'm Stephen Krause, a.k.a. Tina Krause. And I just looked over at the guy. I'm like, but you wouldn't know that now, would you? Like, I was a real dick on the panel. Like, I think I said something like, you know, because I knew he did a movie too, and I was like, couldn't direct your way out of a paper bag if Martin Scorsese gave you directions. I was really pissed. But
okay.
He's always been... He was very encouraging, and I've worked on a couple of films with him, including the last one that he did, which is really brilliant, St. Frankenstein. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it. If you're not, you need to ask
him. I'm very familiar with that. I was absolutely just stunned.
Right,
by
so
that
I played
film.
The vampire in it, the hooker vampire, I
guess. Oh, yes. Okay, so now I know exactly who you are. Okay, gotcha.
Which, a brilliantly shot and brilliantly written film. Like, honestly, that thing is beautiful. But, yeah, so we've always kept in touch and always, you know, talked about stuff. And, you know, he's been like my mentor. He's always been in my corner to keep doing. He always said, Tina, keep doing movies, keep shooting movies, keep writing. He's like, you do a really great job. One day you're going to be up here with us. And here's the one day.
There you go. Very good.
Yeah.
So I want to get this over to Rachel. Rachel, do you have any questions for Tina?
You know, I'm really just enjoying listening to her talk right now. She's got some interesting things to say, and I can't wait to see some of these movies.
Oh, all right, cool. I just finished one. I finished a short called Picture Box. It's going to be screening at the theater this weekend. Well, actually Thursday. It's literally about an old camera that goes through like from World War I all the way up to now. And if you look through the lens, it traps your soul. So we did stop animation in it and everything on that.
Oh, that sounds great.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love Primrose, so that's awesome.
Oh, you'll love this one. It's got the giant flash bulb in the front that's circular. It's bigger than the camera.
Oh, nice. Like the doctors used to wear on their heads, too?
Yes. And the camera's got, like, a leather. It's, like, this brown leather that, instead of being, like, you know, the hard black casing, it's, like, a soft brown leather casing that's on it. Yeah.
It's an
old one. It's actually an antique.
What we used to call a brownie. That's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There you go. It was my friend who edited the film and helped me shoot some stuff. It's his grandfather's camera.
Yep.
So
that makes sense.
This thing is old.
Yeah, it'd be about 40s, 1940s, early 50s.
I would say definitely in the 40s, not the 50s.
Okay.
But we're in our 50s. So it's his grandfather's camera.
Okay, never mind. I'm actually a little older than you, so I've got my walker out and all that sort of shit, so I understand.
Put your walker away.
Exactly. So one of the things I wanted to touch on with that story about Scooter was being a woman in this particular, you know, being a director, being an actress, have you found, you know, that type of prejudice or you know, is it something that you fought against in terms of, you know, your roles and how you look at them and so on and so forth? Has that informed any of your thoughts and how you look at film?
So back then, female directors weren't even a fucking thought, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it now, how many female directors can you name, five of them off the top of your head without having to think too hard, right?
I actually can do that, but that's because I make a point of that.
Because you're
able to, right.
But you're going to name people that other people don't even fucking know.
Right, exactly.
Okay? Seriously.
Like Chantal Ackerman.
Outside of Penny Marshall. You know what I'm saying? And how prominent are they? Most people are not, like, they don't even know who it is. Oh, they directed that? Oh, wait a minute. You know? They know the movie. They don't know the director. That's, you know, most people know the director and not the movie. So we're still kind of in that phase, just not as terrible as back then. And especially for somebody in the industry, you were, they didn't even look at you. So you want to talk about a fight? That was a fight. Right then and there, I had to put my name under a male name in order for it to even be looked at.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's almost a disgrace. Like, I literally wanted to punch this dude in the fucking face. And I was just like, seriously, I know more about filmmaking than you do, and you've been in this industry longer than me. What the fuck? Like, so, like, you know, yeah, I mean, was it difficult? Oh, you were fucking clawing through the trenches. But that being said, it made me stronger and made me want to even do better stuff. I mean, I'm still in the fight. I'm still in the fight. I can't even tell you. I hear people still talk to this day, like, oh, well, you know, are you going to be able to do this? I'm like, are you fucking serious? I'll learn that camera overnight before you even fucking figure out where things are. I'm like, what? And I will. I have so many cameras here, it's not even funny. In fact, the new, I'm shooting two different movies. One of them I'm shooting on GoPros. I overheard my friend say, you can't shoot a movie on a GoPro and have it look like a good movie. And I told him, that's because you don't know how to use a GoPro.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, let me see your footage. And I showed him the footage. He goes, oh, it doesn't have the curve in it. I was like, once again, you don't know how to use the GoPro. And I was like, you need to learn your instruments before you start judging. I was like, So, yeah, I do things now that are off skew. Like the other film that I'm working on, I told somebody I started writing it and I'm almost done with the script. I'm like, I am going to shoot a cannibal movie in black and white with very little gore. And they looked at me and they said, that makes no sense. I said, it makes perfect sense. I'm like, when you see it, you won't say that. So,
right.
Yeah, it's going to have almost like a little like comedy to it, but it's serious, but it's going to be really, really disturbing. And I don't need gore to make something disturbing. Trust me.
Well, look at the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, okay? People think there's so much
there
gore
go.
In that movie. There isn't one drop of it.
No, there isn't. And it's frightening.
Yeah.
It's frightening. You know, one of the most frightening scenes in that movie is when she first walks into the house and he pops out of the back room and drags her into the room and closes the door.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And then when you see them on meat hooks, nobody is fucking bleeding. No one.
No. No.
So
it's all
I'm like, yeah, it's
what
you have
it's
to.
It's all sound work.
Yeah. I'm like, you've got to learn, like, how to situate situations and how to let people, like, make their own assessment into what just happened.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, no. I'm like, I'm not doing a gore fest, but I promise you when you look at it and you see the scenes, you're going to cringe. I promise you that. And they're like, well, so they asked me what one of the scenes was going to be. And I said, there's one scene where they're smoking weed and they go to sleep and one of them wakes up and gets hungry. And they go downstairs. They get put up in this person's place while they're sleeping. They go downstairs and they open up the refrigerator. And it's around Thanksgiving time, right? So when they open up the refrigerator, you know how you have all the leftovers from Thanksgiving, right?
Yep.
So there's something that looks like a turkey. It's about as big as a turkey, right? And it's covered in mm-hmm. tinfoil. And she pulls it out of the refrigerator, right? Because, you know, it's overnight. You put the shit in the refrigerator, right? And she's about to mm-hmm. pull back the tinfoil, and you just see a long piece of hair hanging out of the back of the tinfoil. So
nice.
We know it's not a tinfoil. Yeah. And you don't need to pull back and see what it is. Like, it's just like, oh, my God, like, and then you see another thing that's wrapped up in a small thing. You just see a fingernail sticking out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's enough. Nobody needs to see the rest.
No.
You know, we're good. We know. And then when you look around the whole refrigerator, you just see little things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for me, it's gore, you know, I mean, I grew up, the 70s is my decade. So when we get into the real slashers of the 80s and Friday the 13th on, not Halloween so much, but Friday the 13th on, it's about the gore, it's about the kills, and that doesn't interest me nearly as much. I like the tension. I like the, you know, all of that, and you don't need gore to be scared. One of the scariest things in the world to me, I don't know if you know the movie Changeling.
I love that movie.
Okay, let me tell you
the
something.
The old one, right?
I am never, ever going to live in a house with a red rubber fucking ball. Ever. Not going to happen. I had a friend of mine I was living with.
No, you're not.
I said, that goes the fuck outside now.
No, you are not. No, you're not. And that's the thing. It's more terrifying. Like, all right, let's go back to the 70s for a second, okay? Let's go back to Halloween. There's no gore in Halloween.
No, there's
the first
none.
Halloween.
Nope.
That's all in your head, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Absolutely.
One of the scariest movies to this day.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
To this day. Where's the gore?
And it's all about focus. And that movie's all about focus. It's about focus because it's about the shifting focus, and you see suddenly what's in the background because he shifts the focus of the camera. And then Michael goes up and says, you know, I mean,
or
it's
he's
all
gone
bad.
All of a sudden.
Right.
Or all of a sudden he's there and then he's gone. It's like, where'd he go?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the mystery of not knowing. So, I mean, for all intents and purposes, listen, gore is great. I get it. All right. To me, too much gore, it almost becomes a joke. the movie just kind of loses its, you know, except for, and I can't help myself. What the hell is that John Carpenter, The Thing? Oh, God, I really love that movie. But even that movie still had, like, you know, as gory as that thing is, it had that suspense of, like, what the fuck is happening?
It was more like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah. And what is happening? The very end of it, you don't, the very end of it is disturbing because it's not like it's a gory ending. It's just the two kind of waiting over the campfire, waiting to be saved, and no one knows who the alien is.
Exactly.
The standoff.
It's really
banked.
I saw that in the theater.
And
it was just like people didn't realize, you know, that ending, and just, and everyone came out like very, very uneasy. I remember that.
Yep. Yeah. It wasn't expected. You expected a flat ending, like, all right, this is the end. Boom. You know, whether it's good or bad. No. That ending left you like, oh, shit. It was an oh, shit ending.
Yes.
That's what I like to call
Agreed.
It.
Agreed.
Oh, shit.
Tina. Okay, go ahead.
No. I was like, you can have all the gore in the world, but if it doesn't have the suspense, it just doesn't really work.
Yeah, I understand. I agree. Totally. So before we end, I just wanted to give you some time to promote yourself in the film, and then I'll come in and promote the festival and tell everyone about the festival. Oh. But where can we see your films, and where can we get them, and tell us, you know, if you have a website, anything like that? Go for it, my dear.
Okay,
promote
yourself. Actually, Limbo's on Tubi. All right, just make sure it's the 1999 one, not the 2000 and whatever one, because it wasn't made then. Okay, there, and you can definitely hit me up on Facebook, Tina Krause, or you can hit me up on Instagram, which is SpaceMonkey7777, and I always promote the next things that are going on, and obviously, this film festival I'll be showing Thursday night, October 19th, at the Cinema Noir in Greenpoint. So if you're in Brooklyn and around the area and not doing anything from 5 to, I guess it ends at 12, please bring yourself down, especially at 5, because our shorts are going to be showing. I've got like 2 shorts and the feature. So definitely come on down. I'll be there. For sure. I'll be hanging out. I'll see you on Wednesday, too, for Scooter stuff.
Okay. And so as far as Chaka Go-Go, let me just go over what's going on here. Now, it's the Film Noir Cinema at 122 Mesereau Avenue in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. And tomorrow is the 18th and runs until Sunday the 22nd. So let me just give you an idea. The 18th. We've got the shorts program, and Bill Hellfire is going to be there. And there's Mail Order Murder, which is a 6 o'clock film. And then Duck the Carbine High Massacre. I actually had Bill on with my former partner, Stephen Ronquillo. Be good to check out with him. And then Shatterdead, they have it set at 10 o'clock, but actually it's going to be at 9 o'clock on Wednesday. And then Thursday, you have the shorts program. And then you have Plantasma. Director Jacob Cohen will be there. Limbo, and you will be there, Tina, for that. And
yep.
Thrust, and Victor Bonacore, who we had on a couple days ago, will be there for Thrust. And that looks like it's going to be a blast, by the way. Think the Warriors on acid, okay, basically. Then Friday, you've got the shorts program. Then I will be there for Peggy Sarno. Now, for those that don't know, she is the wife of Joe Sarno. Joe Sarno is
one of the great sexploitation directors. They've got two films of his, Laura's Toys and Abigail Leslie. Then at 10 p.m., we've got Bloodsucking Freaks. I won't be there for that. I hate that fucking movie. And then at 11:30, we've got Bishop's Cove, and that's with director Charles D. Lincoln. And Charles was on our podcast on Saturday. And by the way, I don't know if you know Charles or not, but his dad was Fred Lincoln.
Yep.
Who was a sexploitation director. Okay, you knew that. Okay. We're going to have Charles on later in November to talk about his dad's legacy. I've already talked to Charles about that. Quite a legacy, trust me. Then Saturday, we have three films starting at 1 p.m., with director Q&A, Wieland, Killington, and Trap, and I will be there for those because I want to talk to the directors and such. And at 7, you've got Dwayne Esper's Maniac, and 8:30, you've got Raw Force. Then Larry Fessenden comes in, the great indie god, and he's going to be doing an intro to his film Habit, which is at 10 a.m., and then after that, there'll be a Q&A. And on Sunday, we've got Lloyd Kaufman coming in from Troma. We've had him on the podcast also. And Eric Eichelberger, who is the head of the whole festival, he has two films. He has a documentary, Exploit This, and he also has Ghoul Scout Zombie Massacre, which sounds like
I
a lot of fun. And then,
actually,
and then in between that, you got Lloyd coming in for, I mean, that sounds like an absolute blast. Then 4 p.m. And 6 p.m., you've got Terra Firma and Tromeo and Juliet, and Lloyd Kaufman will be in for that. This is quite the festival. I'm so glad to be promoting it and be part of it. And again, I have to thank Scooter for that very, very much.
Yeah, it's
going to
be a blast.
I know I've been quiet, but I am so fucking jealous of you, Coral. Well, and you know, not only are you going, you're part of it. So, in that
You know, the one thing we haven't talked about Miss Rachel that much, but she's in Memphis actually. You have some really cool people too. Let's not forget Keenan and the whole thing with how that happened with Pee Wee Herman and David Arquette and all that. That's all you. So, you know,
you did
pretty well too, Miss Rachel. So anything else you want to ask Tina before we end this up and say goodnight?
No, I am so sorry I've been so quiet. I have had a massive migraine, but I have enjoyed your stories, so there is that.
Oh, no. I hope you feel better. I'm going to drag Bingo right now.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Oh, that sounds like an absolute blast.
That sounds like a blast. He's at drag Bingo right now.
Oh, nice.
No, so I guess you'll be looking for the number. Oh, my. Okay, never mind. So Tina, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on, and we will see each other tomorrow on that for sure. Let's definitely hook up and say hello.
I'd love to meet you in person. That's going to be awesome.
All right. So at that point, again, I want to thank Tina, and as always, I want to thank Rachel for being on with us. And at this point in time, I think what we're going to do is we're going to say good night, and have fun at Drag Bingo. Please.
It's going to be so good. Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right. Good night, everyone.
And I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you very much for being with us. Say good night.
Definitely.
And we'll see you tomorrow.
All right. See you tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.